Welcome to Champions Podcast.
Hello, my name is Ellis.
Hello, my name is Connor.
Hello, my name's Carly.
And welcome to episode 3 of the podcast. Would you like to introduce yourself?
My name's Sophie Merrick and I'm the Northwest News Editor for Bauer Media.
Hello, I'm Stan Tomkinson. I'm the reporter for Bauer Media for Lancashire. So I cover Hits Radio and Greatest Hits Radio.
So what are your beliefs on the young people in the Northwest?
I think in the Northwest, it's the same as everywhere. I think young people, I suppose, being a young person myself, I think many people are great. You know, the vast majority of people in the UK, I think, are really nice people, really well-intentioned, have the right things in mind. And I think that's reflected in the Northwest and in Lancashire.
I think as far as like my putting my personal opinions to one side, I think young people across the Northwest, we're really lucky in that we get to see the good as well as the bad in our job. So I would say that it's pretty balanced.
What were your opinions on the media, on your youth when you were your age?
What was our opinions on the media? I think, how old are you guys?
16.
Okay, I was probably coming out of the news is boring stage, because at one point there was definitely a news is boring stage. I would listen to the radio and skip channels until the news had finished. But I think probably by your age, I was starting to get more of an interest in what the news was and what was in it and what was happening in the world and in the areas around me. That's probably as much as I thought into it.
I'd say similar, to be fair. I've always quite enjoyed the news. It's been sort of something that I've been very conscious of in terms of, particularly on the broadcast side since I was young, because that is the career path I'd wanted to follow for quite some time. So I would listen to it, but I wasn't, I suppose, as conscious of what was happening around the world as maybe I am now. I think that was pretty similar to Sophie in the sense that was it. I was sort of coming out of that stage of the news is boring, not really caring, and sort of taking a bit of a closer look at everything.
When I was that age, we used to have to sit by the radio to listen to hear whether school was closed or not when it snowed. Yeah. That was the peak for me.
Why did you get involved in radio from a professional standpoint?
I've always loved the radio. So whether that was like being a kid and listening to it to find out whether the school is open or not, or, you know, I remember even being like really young, so before primary school, I'm going to show sort of how young I am now, but like listening to the Chris Moyle show and stuff like that in the morning. And I've always loved radio. And that was sort of the passion for me in the sense that I've always wanted to be on it. As I was sort of getting older and going through school and A-levels and into university, you know, politics was something that interested me. And seeing the sort of news side of it in journalism, you know, in journalism, you can, a better way of saying it, you can change the world. I mean, it's the sort of way you can sort of approach things, you know, campaigns, you know, Sophie, you have.
Campaigned, yeah.
You have campaigned and changed the law. And it's the way that, you know, you can really represent and be the voice of local people and what is important for them and shout about it on a much bigger stage. And for me, that's sort of the reason why I wanted to pursue, I suppose, the radio and also journalism.
I think for me, it was probably like I'd always listened to the radio and like for the music side of it. And then as I got older, I went to college and I thought, what am I going to do? And they started up a journalism club and they took us down to London to some studios down there. And Justin Bieber was in one of the studios at that point. Justin Bieber was like, "Yeah." So we went down and we saw that, and like we'd started doing like journalism, like the Olympic torch came to my college and I covered that. And I think I sort of started to get the bug for it then. I was never particularly academic as far as like maths and science and that stuff. English was kind of, I was okay at, but as far as sitting exams, I did okay, but it wasn't something that I really enjoyed doing. There are some people that love studying and it just wasn't me. So I found a really hands-on journalism course and did a journalism degree after I'd done my A-levels. Yeah, it went on from there. I just really enjoyed it. I loved like being able to share people's stories and speak to people. And as Stan said, as time's gone on, I've been able to use that to campaign on behalf of other people and help other people's campaigns so that they get the coverage and manage to ultimately push for a change in the law and things like that. So I guess it's gone from being, oh, this could be quite interesting, to something that I'm really passionate about and that you can really use as a force for good.
If you don't mind, could you expand on your change in the law?
we had a case in Liverpool where an offender refused to come up from the cells when he was sentenced, and the family were absolutely devastated and of the victim, and decided that they wanted to campaign to change the law so that offenders need to be present to hear the victim impact statements when they're sentenced.
Do you think that there are more negative stories on the youth covered than positive stories?
I find this a really strange one, because I don't think that we do, to be completely honest. I think we love it when there's positive news, because we cover so much negative news. Like, the negative news gets thrown at you, like it's all around you all the time. So for us, we always try and have something really uplifting and really positive. And where there's opportunities to see like young people are doing things to make the world a better place and make positive change, then we cover that. We work really closely with an anti-knife crime campaigner who's done loads of stuff in Lancashire and Merseyside. Like, most recently, they had like loads of primary schools get involved in doing this charity run. And are you aware of this? You know,
is it Baron Item?
And Laura Hughes. So there's quite a few different like anti-knife crime campaign groups and things like that. And we use the opportunities and obviously cover those stories, which are young people making a positive change. I mean, you're going to have crime that involves young people, but you still have the positive stuff as well. And I think it's kind of like that with any news. Like, your news bulletins, you want them to sound reflective of the place and of where you live and of what's going on. So for us, it's really important to have that balance of telling people what they need to know and telling people, like, you know, the bad stuff or the sad stuff, but also having some positivity in there as well.
On that, it's important to mention that we do like to cover as well the issues that many young people do face. So we've worked very closely with the youth zones and the different organisations around that, because we know there's a lack of opportunities for young people, you know, whether that's in Lancashire or the Northwest or wherever. So we're conscious that, you know, these are the issues facing young children and young people. So if we can work with, you know, places like the Youth Zone, or recently we're in BAE Systems because of their new apprenticeships, we want to shout about these things. We want to make sure that these opportunities, people know about them. They know that there are options for them, is facilities for them, and the people are working in their best interests. And as you were saying, we do get a lot of negative news thrown at us. And for me personally, going out to different stories, it's great when we get to go to a nice, positive news story. And there's nothing better, you know, finishing your week off, having a nice positive news story. It's great. And I think it's why everyone does the job, really, is the nice news.
I think it's important for listeners to hear that as well. And like Stan said, like, we work with youth workers and like we speak to a lot of people like that. And if they're sort of saying, you know, there's a lack of opportunities in this, blah, 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 but this is what we need to do, then we'll give that voice if it's something that's like topical and in the news and that we can cover.
What made you take this career path?
Having sort of said one of the previous answers, something came back up in mind is I remember in secondary school, we went to, on a school trip, a few of us got selected to make an advert for our school to go on the local radio. I think me being a bit gobby, was selected. They couldn't shut me up. So I remember going to the local station, which then was Peak FM, which I think it became a Bauer station. So it's gone full circle. But basically, yeah, I went there and I remember being in there and thinking sort of, this is it. And obviously the news and, you know, having studied politics and whatnot, it sort of was the perfect amalgamation of all of my interests, really. I like being the fact that I can help voice people and the things that matter to them. And I think that was very important. You know, I've been quite conscious growing up and, I suppose, through my education and through my youth, in terms of knowing what's going on in the world, I want to make sure that's reflected properly. And I suppose covering a place like Lancashire and being the reporter in Lancashire, making sure that everyone here gets their voices and what's important to them heard, because a lot of the time it doesn't quite. And I suppose that's the great thing about local news, is it's different to what's in, you know, either all the big papers nationally or on the big TV news. It's different issues for different places. And I think that's what sort of really makes me want to follow this career and make me do what I want to do.
It's a job where no 2 days are the same. It's just as simple as that. And that's quite cheesy. And everyone says it about their jobs, but it's genuinely so true. Like, no 2 days are the same. there is still things that crop up now, and I'm like almost a decade in, where you go, oh, like, how should we best deal with that? What's the best way to cover that? How do we tackle this? Like, you, so much planning goes into covering events and like big things like that. You know, we had for Manchester, like the FA Cup final last weekend, like sending a reporter down to Wembley and all of these things. And there's so much going on, and it's just jam-packed. And I think I knew that it was always going to be a case of no two days would be the same. The news is constantly changing and it's constantly happening. So I think it was probably that. And like I said, as time has gone on, you realise how much of a difference you can make to people by sharing their story. It's sort of providing that service. And I think that's what makes local news so special, which is what you said. You're talking directly to a group of people who are somewhere that you live or somewhere that you know, and you know what issues matter to those people because you become a specialist in that area. So, yeah.
What was your route into radio and the media?
I went through university. So I suppose similar to Sophie, I've never been massively academic. My mum was an English teacher, but would always get fed up with me because I was never interested in that and could never wrap my head around it. Maths, again, out the window. I've no idea. I've always wanted to be sort of hands-on and doing stuff. And I suppose when I was looking at sort of the different career paths I wanted to go down, wanted to pursue radio and broadcast media as well, I took a broadcast journalism course because it was very hands-on. And the whole degree was just doing. And basically, here's a camera or here's a microphone. Go and do the news, and sort of learning that way. And for me, that was the best way to learn. And that's sort of gone from one thing into the other. The TV side of it, I do enjoy as well. So I did a separate degree afterwards in documentary filmmaking because I thought that was another asset of it that I wanted to go and explore. But yeah, I suppose that's the sort of way I've accessed it, really. But I mean, even then, the qualifications, it's more sort of being hands-on and doing it. Did my degree, but then when I started freelancing and doing some sort of work experience with you guys, it was a complete different world. And you learn so much else because every organization does things differently. They've got different software. There's different style guides. You read your scripts differently and you sort of learn by doing the job. And I think that's the great part about it, is really is the amount of times I've been covering a story and you've been on the phone and you're going, that's great, but do it again this way. And teaching me, like, as I'm on the scene doing it, and you sort of do your different takes. And I think that's the best part about it, is I've got the qualifications on paper, but really you learn so much more by actually being there and doing it and seeing it.
If you wasn't to be a journalist, what would you do?
I've worked in police comms before, which is very similar. So I worked in corporate comms and I really enjoyed it because it's kind of the other side to journalism. So it's like when the police are putting press releases out to the media to say what's happened and they're appealing for witnesses and things like that. So I enjoyed that. So if I wasn't a journalist, I'd probably do something which is as close to journalism as possible without being a journalist.
I'd probably look into doing some filmmaking or documentary filmmaking, which, yeah, it's different to journalism, but I suppose it's also along that same lines, but it'd be sort of telling people stories, but through a different medium. I think that'd be something that I'd try and pursue as well.
If you could give one advice to someone who wants to do what you're doing, what would it be?
Be a sponge. It's what you tell everyone who comes in. Basically, be a sponge. So listen to as many people as possible. So whether you get sent to a scene, talk to as many people as possible, listen to as many people that you work with as possible as well, taking all of their knowledge and basically just put everything together, take in as much as you possibly can, and somewhere in there will be the right information for you that works for you and will help you along your path. But basically say yes to as much stuff as possible as well.
You've used my words for your answer.
Yes.
So now I need to think of an answer. Yeah, just get as much work experience as possible. Like, get yourself some experience somewhere. Like, a lot of places will take people on for work experience, whether it's like production, whether it's news, whatever kind of element of radio it is, or news or whatever. The more experience you can get, the better, and the more that you can put yourself out there and try and get that experience, that honestly, that's the way forward, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, and one of my old lecturers said as well, you'll learn so much more than I can possibly teach you if you just either read the news, watch the news, or listen to the news, and you just take it in, and you can see how it's done at the professional level, and you just then can see what works and what doesn't, and why certain places do it one way, certain places do it the other.
You've got to know media law as well.
Yes.
That's like
Yes.
You have to know Mesial Law.
Yes.
That's the biggie.
What was the story you have covered that has the biggest effects on you?
I think the one that's, for me, that stands out, and probably because it was quite recently, so we've worked quite closely with a woman in Lancashire whose son unfortunately passed away quite a while ago, but he was swimming in a quarry where he shouldn't have been. It wasn't signed properly. And basically, she's been campaigning for near enough 14 years for water safety to be put on the national curriculum. And a couple of weeks ago, she finally got the great news that after 14 years of campaigning, multiple petitions, it's finally going to be on the national curriculum. And she was able to finally, after that time, start that, the next chapter of her life, really. And obviously, me coming in relatively recently to the team here, I've not been the whole 14 years since then. But even though I've sort of only really spoken to her for the last bit, it was, you know, really nice to see that actually, you know, speaking to her that, I suppose, that final time on this story, now it's on the national curriculum, and she's been successful in what she's campaigning for 14 years. It was actually sort of a moment where you sort of take a step back and think, wow, like, this is why we do the job, in the sense that, I mean, she harasses us on the phone all the time, doesn't she?
She loves it. She says it, though. She admits it. She's like, I'm always on the phone to you. But
yeah, it's great. And it's sort of really the fact that, I suppose, journalism, and it wasn't just us, it was different organisations and people were helping her out. But as a collective, we've helped her actually achieve what she's been trying to achieve for 14 years. And she can now, like, finally move on with her life onto that next chapter.
I'm going to give you a good and a bad, because I'm all about balance. So the story that I've found hardest to cover as a human, as opposed to being a journalist. I mean, we are both, but it's really, really hard when you have like that connection to a story. So the one that I found hardest was when Olivia Pratt Corbell was shot in Liverpool, a 9-year-old girl who was killed in her own home. That was very difficult to cover. And it's her mum that I've worked with since on her campaign. The best story that I've worked on was Eurovision in Liverpool. Oh my gosh, just like amazing. The atmosphere, the party, the weather, just everything came together for Eurovision, and it was crazy and it was huge. And we were able to just do loads of stuff on air and go massive with it and get dressed up and go and sit and watch it all unfold in the arena. And it was just incredible. So, like I said, in the spirit of doing the good and the bad, those are probably my biggies.
How does it feel being on the other foot and being questioned rather than doing the questioning?
It's weird, isn't it?
It is. And the thing is, I sort of roughly know what it's like. And every interview I end up doing, I always find myself apologising before I start, because the last thing anybody ever needs, usually, God knows what time in the morning or what time in the evening, is a journalist poking a microphone in the face and asking them questions. And I know how bad it is when it gets put the other way. But I think you've done a great job in terms of asking questions.
Yeah, you've done really well. I think the key to is being a journalist is you need to try to put people at ease so that you don't instantly go, there's a microphone, which is what a lot of people do. They go, oh, I hate my voice. We all do, even me, who reads the news on the radio. You still sit there and you go, oh, I should have done this differently. Oh, that's not great. Like, nobody, a lot of people don't like listening back to their voice. But yeah, it's been weird being on this side of the mic.
Yeah. I remember hearing myself at like 6 in the morning at Greg's once, because it was just on in the radio, and I was like, I don't need this at this time.
Thank you for listening, and thank you for joining us today. It's greatly appreciated.
Thank you very much.
No worries.